There are significant cases moving in two different American courts today. First, the court-martial of Army Private Bradley Manning is underway at a military court in Fort Meade, Maryland. Manning is charged with the largest leak of classified documents in U.S. history. We'll have more about his case in a moment. And at the Supreme Court today, legal observers waited with bated breath for major decisions on same-sex marriage, affirmative action, and the Voting Rights Act. The justices opted not to release their opinions on those cases for now, but the court did rule on a very interesting, if lower-profile, case about law enforcement's use of DNA evidence. Emily Bazelon is legal affairs editor at Slate. We want to get her take on this ruling and also on the Manning trial. Emily, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Emily, the High Court today released its decision on a case called Maryland versus King. It basically said that police can legally take DNA samples without a warrant from suspects they've arrested for other cases. Maybe they might be able to use that DNA to solve older cases. What's the significance of this ruling?
Well, 28 states have laws that call for DNA collection from people who've been arrested as opposed to convicted. And the court said that is constitutional. And so we're talking about a huge number of people being eligible for DNA collection. The majority said this is just like fingerprinting, not much of a privacy intrusion, no big deal. But there's a very strong dissent in this case from Justice Scalia and an unusual lineup. He was joined by three of the court's liberals, Sotomayor and Kagan and Ginsburg. And he points out that the way DNA collection works, it takes a while. So the idea that the states are doing this to identify the suspect is not really what's going on here.
Okay, so that's a glimpse into this case, Maryland versus King, from the Supreme Court. No other opinions expected until Monday. So, Emily, let's turn now to the other major court case going on.
Good afternoon. My name's Bob. I'm here to demand a pardon for Bradley Manning.
Well, that sound from a rally in Boston over the weekend in support of Private Bradley Manning. He's the 25-year-old Army private who leaked, who's accused of leaking 700,000 classified U.S. documents to WikiLeaks. His trial started today at Fort Meade in Maryland. Emily, let's start there. What are the charges that Manning is facing?
Manning has already pled guilty to charges that could subject him to up to 20 years in prison. But the government says that's not enough. And so they've also charged him under the Espionage Act. That's the law that's been used in the recent leak cases the Obama administration has brought. It was originally passed in 1917. It's part of preventing sedition, a kind of old idea. But it was also used against Daniel Ellsberg, who's the person who revealed the Pentagon Papers. So that's one set of charges. And then the second and more serious are charges that Manning aided and abetted the enemy. Usually, those charges have been restricted to circumstances where someone actually handed over information about troop movements to the enemy and directly collaborated. Yeah. In this case, the theory is different. It's that simply by publishing this information, Manning was handing it over to enemies like Al-Qaeda,
right,
and that alone is enough to support the charge.
Well, Emily, let me ask you, because in a pretrial hearing, I understand that Army Colonel Denise Lind, who's the judge overseeing this court-martial, basically modified the standard that the government has to meet in this case, saying that the more strict standard of the accused having the intention to harm the United States isn't what the government has to do. They just have to prove that Manning had a reason to believe that the documents could be used to harm the United States. Is that an easier standard for the government to meet, or is this still, this is not an open and shut case?
It's not open and shut, but yes, Judge Lind did make it easier for the government to win a conviction, because if all they have to show is that Manning could have thought that harm would come to the U.S. as opposed to he was really planning that, that makes it much harder for him to defend himself as a whistleblower. And that is Manning's position. It's that he was horrified by various abuses the American government was committing, and he believed that revealing what was happening was the only way to fight back against them.
Let's remind people a little bit about what Manning is accused of having leaked, videos showing an Apache helicopter assault in Baghdad that killed Iraqi civilians and two journalists, risk assessments for dozens of Guantanamo detainees that showed no record of why they were transferred there, and also the disclosure of names of Afghan informants who were cooperating with allied forces, which put them into danger. So those are just a couple of the 700,000 documents. Do you have any sense as to why the government is pushing for those more the more severe charges and more severe potential sentences?
Well, the government really wants to hold Manning accountable. I mean, this was a private within the U.S. Army and military who revealed just an enormous number of secrets. Set aside how much harm there really was, just the sheer volume is staggering. And so it's clear that the government feels like this was a trained U.S. analyst who they should have been able to trust. And they want to send a very, very strong signal to other people who might be tempted to leak not to do so.
Hmm. Now, this case is a court-martial, so there's very little information coming out of the trial, or very little that we expect to hear. But a lot of critics are also looking at this case as potentially the U.S. government sort of being, I don't want to say put on trial, but an examination of the U.S. government's push to classify so many documents. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. You know, a lot of the information that Manning revealed was embarrassing to the government. If you dial back, you can remember a lot of articles in the Washington Post and the New York Times based on this WikiLeaks material showing that our diplomats were doing various things to curry favor with foreign governments, for example. And so why was all of that secret in the first place? Well, the government has increasingly been classifying materials it just doesn't want out there for embarrassment reasons. And so that is part of what's issue in this trial. In addition to some of the more serious allegations Manning uncovered, did he also release a lot of information that simply should not have been kept secret in the first place?
You know, it's interesting and even somewhat ironic to me that even though this is a court-martial and it is relatively secret, 30,000 pages of documents from pretrial motions, including classified and unclassified motions, have been produced so far. None of the unclassified material in and of itself has even been released. So what might we expect to hear, if anything, in the coming roughly 12 weeks of Bradley Manning's trial?
I don't think we're going to hear the kinds of details that would help answer the central question in this case, which is, should we think of Manning as a whistleblower and a hero, or should we think of him as a traitor to his country? We won't find out what the government's argument is for the harm that the release of this material caused. And I think we're also just unlikely to get a lot of the context that would help us really understand the historical role these materials played. Mm-hmm.
Emily Bazelon is legal affairs editor for Slate. Emily, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much.